That last, really watch on that note, victory, I may have some fun. Let's sing it out on the last.
I heard about a mansion he had built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood.
Okay to have a little bit of fun at church. Amen.
Amen. Well, amen. Good to see you this evening. Trust you've had a good afternoon and you're ready to be back here to worship the Lord tonight. Grateful for His blessings to us, His mercy to us. Thank Him for a great morning and time in the study of the Word of God. This evening, might God be pleased to enter in as we studied this morning that He get grant us His presence and His power. We need it, so desperately need it in these days. And right now, let's just take a couple minutes. And folks, let's just welcome each other. Just welcome the family of God together this evening. It's good to see you. Good to be with you.
Amen. All right. Well, if you'd head back to your seats, please continue standing and turn with me to hymn number 57. Hymn number 57. You should know it. If not, it's a great song. Let's sing it out on the first.
Years I spent in vanity and pride.
caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. It's one of those songs where you know it so well you don't really think about it. So as we sing that second, really listen to the words. Let the words of this author speak to your heart as we sing out on the second. By God's word at last my sin I learned, then I trembled at the Lord's burn, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. And let's sing of that love, sing it out on the last. Oh, the love that through salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Amen. Even though it's not around Easter time, it's always a wonderful thing to think about what Christ did for us at Calvary and how that old cross, that one cross, was the only thing that it took to save an old sinner like me. All right, you may be seated. Thank you. Amen. All right. Guess what? I took my book down and didn't bring it up with me. All right. Now let's stand one last time. Please grab your hymnal with me and turn to hymn 66. We're not done with Calvary yet. You thought you had enough on the last song? We're going to sing that again on the first.
There are things that travel this earth, things that transcend all the reason of man. But the thing that matters the most in this world, they can never be held in our hand. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross.
I believe that the Christ on the second,
I believe Christ who was slain on that cross has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely, a new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stand. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when God has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged.
Do something a little scary on the chorus. Let's have the instruments drop out. That's scary because that means you're going to hear a lot of me. So sing out as loud as you can to the Lord so you can cover me up. All right, let's sing it out on the last.
I believe life with its great mystery. Surely someday will come to an end. But the darkness and death, and will lead me at last to my friend.
Sing it out.
I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe.
No pop and boom this time. All right. Gentlemen, take your places. Receive this evening's offering. We'll go over a few announcements right quick. The ladies' fellowship will be Tuesday at 7 o'clock in the pastor's classroom. We're going to have missionary Brother Jacob Simon will be here on the 25th. And teachers' meeting on the 27th. That's a very important announcement we need to cover here. All teachers, Sunday school teachers, and Wednesday night teachers need to be here at this meeting on the 27th at 7 o'clock. Friends and Faith will have a class party on the 13th. Youth rally on the 21st. We're going to be hosting a youth rally here. For those who are interested in helping, have not signed up, come see me, and we'll get you something to do. We'll find you a place to plug in. Personal growth seminar is going to come up between March and April. It's going to last about a month. More information to come. Excited to hear about that. Well, like I said, more information to come. Let's leave it at that one right there. And Miss Sandra could use some help with playing Cupid. I mean, no. Delivering Valentines. So, for those who's homebound or who can't get out and come see us, she wants some help with taking some cards to them. So, if you'd be interested in helping with that, please see Miss Sandra. So, let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for us today. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful message you gave us this morning, Lord. Lord, right now we're expecting to hear from you again tonight, Lord. Right now, please keep the pastor and hide him behind your cross. Give him the words you want him to say. Be with this offering you're about to receive. And please bless the gift and the giver. I ask these things in your name. Amen.
They're back in the States due to a funeral. Brother Jarvis, was it your mother passed away, brother? And so please pray for that family. Also, the Balzano family in New York, Judy McKinney's sister's husband passed away yesterday afternoon, and funeral I'm sure will be sometime early this week. And then Tuesday, I'll be doing a graveside service for Jean Henderson, friend of Kenneth Lambert's. She passed away earlier in the week, but the funeral's not till Tuesday. So please pray for that family as well. Different ones, different things going on. And so please be in prayer for these different families as they grieve through these times. Well, this evening, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 4. It's there. How about that? Matthew chapter 4. If you found your place in the Word of God, you can stand with me. Matthew chapter 4. We'll begin reading this evening in verse 18. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he," Jesus that is, "said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Father, this evening we simply want to look at some very basic things, some simple things from your word. Pray that your Holy Spirit might give illumination and understanding. Pray, Father, that we indeed would grow in the grace and the knowledge of our wonderful Savior. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ tonight. Pray, Father, that you'd arrest our attention, focus upon our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he indeed would be magnified and glorified in what would take place within these walls this evening. Use us, Father. Pray that we would indeed be a dependable and faithful lampstand here on this hill for your glory till your Son returns. For it's in his name and for his glory we do pray. Amen and amen. Of course, may be seated. On the heels of this morning's message, shouldn't be any surprise that we realize that as saved people, those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, know him as our Savior, are to be his servants. Servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hopefully, along with that, we realize that we are to be witnesses for Christ. Focus in on that this morning, talking about the necessity of the power of God if we're to be those effective witnesses for our Savior. You know, I have to confess, and especially coming off of this morning's message and dealing with that passage of Scripture in preparation, I've been convicted. Lord, help me. Please help me to be a better, and maybe we'll use the word more effective, witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I believe that God wants us indeed to lay aside the chains of any inhibitions or hindrances that we may sense in our lives that would keep us from being the witnesses that the Lord would have us to be. And I'm praying that, some folks are just more liberated, so to speak. They're just don't seem to ever know a stranger. And I'm just not that away. Never been that way. I have to prod myself to engage folks and talk to folks like I should. But Lord, help us that we would indeed be a better, more efficient, and bolder witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. In looking at this passage, we see a few things about the first four men. The first four men that the Lord called to himself. Of course, these men were to be his disciples. And of these four, they would be amongst those that he would separate to be apostles of Christ. And Peter, his brother Andrew, and then James and his brother John give us some lessons, obviously, very simple lessons, very clear lessons in this passage. And as we look at this, first of all, this evening, and no pun intended here as far as our U.S. Army or anything like that, but Jesus was looking for men. He was looking for men. In the beginning of verse 18, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw those first two brethren, Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother." Now, I do not mean, ladies, to sound chauvinistic at all, but the fact is, the Lord was looking for men here. He was looking for men, but he was not out. He wasn't out for a leisurely stroll on the Galilean seashore. He had in mind exactly what he was going to do. He knew the exact men that he was looking for. And I was thinking about that. You know, it's so much different for us as a pastor, as missionaries on the mission field. And your prayer, your longing is that God would raise up men for you to disciple that would take that work and multiply you and go on with it. And a lot of times as human disciplers, we can have some successes and we can have some failures. But not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly the men that he was looking for and what he would do with them. It was not a matter of His working through trial and error, as I might have to find those that would work out, so to speak, for the ministry. Jesus passed by. I love that. There's no accidents there. Jesus passed by where those men were that day. And again, I don't want to be cliche, but, you know, I'm sure thankful for the day Jesus came by my way. Holy Spirit of God worked in my heart, came to where I was at, and drew me savingly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, first of all, was looking for men. But secondly, some things about these men. First of all, they were working men. These were working men. Verse 18, in the end of that verse, it speaks of them casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. And in verse 21, it's the end of the verse. It says their father, they were with their father, and they're mending their nets when he called them. These men were working men. They were working men. Now, again, we realize he was walking along the Galilean seashore. But he wasn't out there looking for sunbathers. He wasn't there looking for those that were hunting seashells. He was looking for men that were occupied. Men that were workers. Working men. He wanted men that understood what it was to have a job. To be busy about what their business. It's interesting. It's interesting. As a pastor for 25 years, it's the most useful and faithful people in our churches are the ones that are the most busy. And I have to be careful. I have to be careful because there's some folks, no matter what you ask them, they'll do what they can to fulfill what you ask them. They have a hard time saying no. Saying no. They have a hard time saying no. So you have to be careful because you can overload some folks because of their willingness to just enter in and do what they can do. The folk that are already busy are usually the ones that are willing to do more. Isn't that interesting? But it is the case in my experience. Now, I'm going to do the other side of this thing, though. Don't tell me that you're called to some special service for the Lord somewhere else if you're not willing to serve Him right here.
That's right. Amen.
Through the years, I've had some like that. They'll come along and say, "Preacher, I'm called to the mission field." And the first thing I'll say is, "I guess I'll see you Thursday night at visitation." All of a sudden, there's stuttering going on. And many times they're not even members of a church. But I'm going into the ministry and I'm thinking, you're mixed up in this thing. God uses workers. Folks that have a philosophy of work. And I know that might be politically incorrect in our day, but that's the way it is. I take it with a grain of salt when somebody talks to me and tells me that they feel called to be a preacher or a missionary. But they're not busy doing a thing in the church. No. God will use workers. And He'll raise up those that are workers and bless them in such a way to use them in greater ways for His glory and His word. The Lord was looking for men, and these men were working men. But also, we see very obviously, these men were responsive. They were responsive men. In verse 20, it says, They straightway left their nets and followed Him. Verse 22, it says, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed Him. They were responsive. They heard the voice of the Lord and they obeyed. They obeyed. When Jesus called, they obeyed. They didn't debate. They didn't question. They didn't put them off or delay in some way. When He called, they followed. Very simple. I remember, and I don't want to, I'll probably cloud the issue here. I hope I don't. But I remember later on in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, He was dealing with a man and had called him to follow Him as He did these. And when he called him to follow, he had other issues. And he was among some. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 9, it's interesting. Marcia and I were reading in this chapter just over the last couple of days in our devotions. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9 and verse 59, we'll break into the passage there. Verse 59, he, the Lord Jesus, said unto another, follow me. Follow me. But, now doesn't that almost seem like a contradiction? Jesus says, the Lord says, follow me. The next word, but. Now, there's a lot of times I love that word in the scriptures, you know, but not in this case. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Well, that seems like a legitimate request. But Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. We'll go ahead and read the last two verses. It says, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Well, it's some unusual passage here. And to be honest with you, this passage troubled me for quite a few years until I came across an explanation that really helped me, made sense. The Lord Jesus Christ, we understand the Lord Jesus Christ always manifested a compassion and a mercy to hurting folk. And so when I would consider that, this just didn't seem to fit in my thinking. Of course, that's a dangerous place to go anyway, where I'm thinking. But obviously, amongst the common people of the ancient times, especially here in what we would call the first century, burials took place almost immediately. When an individual died, burial would be the immediate preparations would be taking place. And the heat of the Middle East demanded that a person would be buried often the day they died or soon thereafter. If this man in our passage, Father, had died at this point, he wouldn't be there with the Lord Jesus Christ. He would have been taking care of the needs of burying his father. He would have been busy with those preparations. So the more likely explanation is that this man's father was old and maybe ill and would indeed soon pass away, but was yet still alive. This man that the Lord's dealing with, rather than obey the call of the Lord to preach the gospel, puts him off. Puts him off. He says, I'll gladly serve you later, Lord, when it's a little more convenient. I'll gladly serve you later. I've got these other things to take care of now. I don't know when 25 years ago or whenever it was, and the Lord was after my heart to go ahead into the pastoral ministry. There was many folks that said, what are you doing? You've got 18 years with General Motors. What are you doing? Why don't you just wait another 12 years and retire and then go into the ministry? Say, what? How could I do that? If the Lord wanted me to do that, how could I wait? How could I put off His call? Lord, if you'll just wait 18 years, when I get my pension, no way. I couldn't do that. Well, Lord help. These others that we read of here, rather than obey the call of the Lord to follow Him, wanted to go back to the house and say their goodbyes. Can you imagine? Can you imagine standing before the Lord Jesus Christ and telling Him, Well, you hold on a little bit. Can you postpone this trip? I got some things to take care of at the house, and then I'll catch up with you. It's ridiculous. You don't think Peter and Andrew, James and John had some of those same issues in their life? Sure they did. Sure they did. And what's it say about them? Straightway they left all. How much? All followed Him. They just obeyed His call to them. Yeah, I know. It gets a little sobering here, doesn't it? In both cases in this passage, we have these folks saying, "Suffer me," or "Let me first." What's the common word there? May. They were putting themselves first before the Lord. Let me first go take care of these other things. Then I'll serve you. Then I'll follow you. But you know this was coming, didn't you? We have some of the same issues today. We deal with some of the same issues today. Preacher, are you ready? Preacher, I'd love to help out, but I'm real busy right now. Yeah. I'd be glad to help with Sunday school. But I have these other things going on. Well, you know, I wouldn't mind singing in the choir, but... Well, I would really enjoy helping out at the doors, but we have other excuses. You know what? Peter and Andrew, James and John had to make some changes in their life if they were going to serve the Lord. Far greater changes than any of us would have to make to enter in and be part of what God's doing. The problem is, we're not willing to make those changes. There's always something to do with me involved to keep me from it. Bottom line is, just what's our excuse? What's our excuse? What? And now again, I'm being nasty here. What are we putting first? What's keeping us from being involved in something for the Lord? The things of the Lord, now listen, the things of the Lord are worth rearranging our life for. Tell me, where are the greatest blessings going to be? Rearranging this or that little thing so that you can be part with what God's doing? Or making sure our little schedule doesn't get shook up? Well, I think we know the answer. These men left their earthly work. They left their earthly work. Peter and Andrew says they straightway left their nets, followed Him. James and John, it says, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed Him. They made the switch. They left behind the secular job, the secular work. It's not likely God's going to ask all of us to do that. We understand that. Obviously, not everyone is going to be called from their current occupation to become pastors or preachers or missionaries or some other special service for Christ. We understand that. What I mean is, we need to be open to God's direction. We need to be willing, and I believe we need to go through a process. Now listen. I believe we need to allow ourselves or our God to take us through a process to sort out just what His will for me is. I'll say this, and you don't have to agree. It's okay. You don't have to agree. You'll find out someday I was right. Now listen, young people, and listen, parents. I believe every young person needs to give God full opportunity to put them into some special ministry. They need to give themselves to God in such a way as, Lord, I'm yours. You do what you want with me. If he determines to put them into some ministry, preacher, evangelist, missionary, whatever it is, hallelujah. If he determines to make them the best Christian on the job down at the plant, well, hallelujah to that. But they need to first give themselves to the Lord. Say, Lord, here am I. You do with me what you would want. You let God eliminate those areas of special ministry in your life before you eliminate them. You understand what I mean? Understand what I mean? You know, I strongly advise this. You need to encourage every young person in our church. Every high school student in our church should take at least one class a semester at TTU. I believe that with all my heart. You say, why is that? Well, there'll be a double blessing in that. Number one, God may just be pleased to do something more in your heart and life as you grow in your understanding of the Word of God and the things of God. The other side of it, if God determines that you need to be doing something else with your life, you'll be all the better prepared. The foundation of the Word of God in your life and an understanding of the things of God and the workings of God. Huh? Hey. Not every church has the blessing of TTU like we have. You young folks need to take advantage of that. You need to take advantage of it. Well, these men, as we read here, left their physical nets behind and began throwing spiritual nets for a catch of souls. Hallelujah. Huh? That's not a bad switch. That's not a bad trade, to say the least. They left their earthly work and hey, it gets tougher. We see as well they left their earthly family. Please stick with me on this. This is tough. Verse 22, we read again there in Matthew 4, speaking of James and John, it says they immediately left their ship and their father followed him. You think that they were important to their dad on that ship? You think these two men's labor with him was vital to him? Sure it was. But you know something, I don't want to read between the lines, but I don't see Zebedee jumping up and down and screaming here. Huh? I don't see him protesting. I take it he was happy for his boys to be at the Savior's feet. Well, James and John left Dad at the ship and followed the Lord. It isn't likely that all that many of us will be called upon to answer this call. We understand that. The Bible teaches us, obviously, that God is pro-family. He teaches a lot on the family in the Scriptures. God designed the family and gives us plenty of teaching on the family. God's pro-family. But on the other side of that, it's a very dangerous thing when a parent discourages their child from ministry. Dangerous. Oh, son, don't throw your life away being a preacher. Oh, my, you be a missionary, you'll never have anything. Well, looking at me, you can tell I haven't missed too many meals along the way. God's been pleased to take care of me. But the bottom line is, dear ones, I want my children to be in the will of God. I want them in the will of God. Where do you think they'll be safer? Living next door to you for the rest of their lives outside of the will of God? Or in what we might consider one of the most troublesome places on this planet, in the will of God? I want them in the will of God because I know that's the safest place. That's the place of God's blessing for their lives. Oh my, indeed. Praise God for the thousands and thousands through the years that have been willing to say goodbye to loved ones and gone to the far corners of this earth. to preach Christ, to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the early missionaries in the 17th and 1800s said their goodbyes to family, realizing that it was highly likely, more likely than not, that they would never see their loved ones again. I'm going to read you a story or an account here. It's always touched me, this group of people. And I'm going to read you something about the early Moravian mission movement in the 1700s. Maybe some of you have read about these dear folks. There was a group of Moravians that had been literally just persecuted and driven from their lands and properties. And they approached a man by the name of Ludwig von Zinzendorf. He was an Austrian noble, a count in the German court. I'm going to read you about this. He says, I have found, and the writer here, he says, I found great inspiration for the kind of prayer life needed in our day by learning about the spirit of the Moravian movement of the 1700s. The Moravians became the first modern missionary movement to the nations, even before William Carey. This movement was born in prayer. As I said, they were refugees, really. Entered up on Count Zinzendorf's property, and he had a very tender spirit for the things of God from even a child, and he gave them permission to settle there, a place that became known as Herrenhut. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. And it became kind of a collection, as mostly these Moravian folks, but some other believers as well ended up there. And oh my, they had a mess. At first, early on, it was a mess. A lot of division and sectarian spirit, and it was rough. And Zinzendorf himself went from home to home in that community, praying with and challenging, encouraging him, and he put two or three families together and insist that they just spend time in prayer together. And as we read on, we'll get a bit of the sense of what that result. This movement was born in prayer. Fleeing religious persecution in their homeland, a band of Moravian families were given sanctuary by Count Zinzendorf on his large estate. And though weary and divided among themselves, revival fell on them. Revival fell on them. Soon they were united. That divisive spirit was driven out by the Holy Spirit of God. Soon they were united, fervent body of believers with high expectancy of what God could do through them. A prayer meeting began among them, soon organized into a 24-hour-a-day unceasing prayer watch. The name of that place became Herrenhut, literally meaning watch of the Lord. This prayer meeting went on for more than 100 years nonstop, 24 hours a day. 100 years. Things happen when folks are committed to the Lord like that. Listen, out of it came a spirit of sacrifice and missions that sent groups of Moravian young people and families to the ends of the earth with their belongings packed in their coffins. If you use a coffin for your suitcase, what are you planning? You're not planning to come back. They took their coffins with them. With their belongings packed in their coffins as a mark of their commitment. In this spirit, two young men sold themselves as slaves to gain entrance to an island of slaves so that they might have the privilege of giving them the gospel. Sold themselves into slavery so that they could take the gospel to that place. As they left the shore of home with their belongings in their coffins, they shouted back to the weeping loved ones the words that became the cry of the Moravian movement. May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of His sufferings. Wow. It's almost breathtaking, isn't it? Don't hear too much about the Moravian Brethren in these days. But what a 100-year prayer meeting. Many of those folks went to the mission field and died almost immediately. They weren't afraid to go to some of the most dangerous places on this earth. They were the first to go to many cannibals and gave their lives. And immediately, there would be someone get on a ship to replace them. Wow. Knowing what had happened to those who went before them. That's devotion to their Savior. And those words, may the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of His sufferings. That says something. They only saw themselves as entering in to what He had already accomplished for them. They saw their lives as such a transitory. They knew their eternity was secure in Christ. And the blood of the Moravians broke the soil on many a mission field where others followed. Well, indeed, these were committed men. They were committed men. In verses 20, 22, it says, they followed Him. They followed Him. We understand that Peter and Andrew and James and John, amongst the others, would follow the Lord Jesus Christ for the next three and a half years. That word followed, I was just curious this afternoon and wanted to do a little word study on it. And it's a very simple word. It just means to accompany. It's the idea to be with. It's all means. Nothing dramatic. They were with Him. They were with the Lord Jesus Christ. They walked those dusty roads with Him. They sat in the evening watch night. And listened to Him. They were there with Him as He preached to the multitudes. They were there with Him when He healed the lepers and the blind and the deaf. They were there with Him when He drove the powers of darkness, the demons from different ones. These men were with Him. They followed Him. And I've said this before about the disciples and about the Lord Jesus Christ, His relationship to them. You know, what other movement can compare to this? What other movement started with this one man, Jesus, who taught 12, one of them being the devil, and within a generation the world was turned upside down? Do you believe the Lord Jesus had a confidence in what He was doing? Sure. When He looked for those men, when He searched for those men that first day, He already knew what He was going to do with them. He already knew the sermons that Peter would preach. He knew what would go on with Andrew and James and John, all those sons of thunder and all their exuberance. He knew. He understood what the others would do that would join them along the way. And He was confident that as He trained them and they followed Him, indeed, it would change and impact the world. The world. And tonight, folks, as we gather here in this church building, I'm praying that God would not allow us to be content to just go along with the status quo. Don't you get tired of the status quo? I don't know what to say. I'm going to tell you this. I'm praying God do some things to shake Metropolitan Baptist Church up. That can be dangerous. Because I don't know what he might decide to do. I'm praying he'd shake us up. Huh? That he'd rattle those old bones. Breathe some life into us. I'm praying that he would create an excitement in us that maybe we haven't known for a long time. Starting right here behind this desk. Would once again. I don't know about you, and I read stories like this about these Moravians. My blood begins to pump a little harder. Folks like that give their lives for their Savior. Might we learn something from them? Might it do something to stir our hearts? Let's stand together, beloved. Father, this evening I'm so thankful for your word. So thankful for a calling. Lord, along the way, you intervened in the life of Jim Turner. And even tonight, I still can't understand it all. And Lord, as well, please allow me to stand before a group of people like this tonight, brothers and sisters in Christ, and open your word and try as best we can to surrender, submit to you, and allow you to do something in our hearts. And I pray, Father, oh Father, as you stirred in the hearts of the Moravians, as you stirred in the hearts of a Peter and an Andrew and a James and a John and the others, Father, would you be pleased to stir in our hearts? Lord, that we wouldn't be satisfied with just a little stirring for a day or for a night. But, oh God, would you do some things that would change our whole perspective of what it means to be a Christian? And Father, as we would this evening pray our prayers, sing a closing song and go our way, I pray that we would go following you. Lord, we would follow you with our hearts aflame for Christ. And that as folks, as we would come in contact with different ones along the way, the joy of the Lord. Oh, Father, the fervency of the Spirit as we saw this morning, the power of God would work in our beings. Oh, God, give us a liberty that we've not known. A liberty that would be free of hindrance and the hobbles of this life. To simply rejoice in our Savior. We would be that people in love with Christ. And sharing Him with a lost and a dying world. Lord, we love you tonight. Father, I sure love this people. I love this church. Pray you'd bless us in doing us what human flesh cannot do. Father, would we experience the supernatural, that which cannot be explained, where you would take creatures of clay like us and use us for your glory. And Lord, all we know to do is be certain to promise that we will indeed give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise that you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
351.
We sing, folks. Please just obey the Lord tonight. Whatever He'd have you to do, please obey.
Take up thy cross and fall. I heard my master.
You, I've had fun today. I've enjoyed being here. Thankful I could be in church. I'm glad I could be with my brothers and sisters in Christ too. It's good. I'm sure thankful for the family of God. Amen. I'm thankful for the family of God. Thankful for folk that care about each other and pray for each other, hold each other up. Might we be faithful to do that even this week. Amen. Amen. Colton, come lead us in a chorus.
All right, well, let's dismiss the chorus. It's in your bulletin. If not, you can make it up and probably figure it out. Let's sing out. Let's just praise the Lord.
Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord.
Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.